Well, we're on to part two of our series on prayer now, Ask, Seek, and Knock. Last week, Jesus taught us that our Father loves to be bothered. We can never bother God too much. And yet, if we're honest, some of us may still be wondering, why bother? Does God always answer us when we cry out to him? Prayer can just seem pointless sometimes. Does God really care, or does he leave us whistling in the dark? So let's turn to Jesus' next parable, the parable of the persistent widow then now. And here we get another story of a shameless asker pressing a grumpy neighbor for help. And Jesus seems to say here, I don't want you just to bother God, but to badger him even, if what you're seeking is just. Opening up all kinds of questions on what prayer is really all about. So Luke 18, verse 1 through 8 is our text today. Let's hear now the word of the Lord. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, this is quite a story, isn't it? Here we have this judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought, and this widow who keeps on bothering him like a broken record, like a leaky faucet. Judge, grant me justice against my adversary, she keeps pleading here with him day and night. But the judge refuses. He callously tunes her out. Why should he care about this widow? She had no money to bribe him, and no doubt her adversary had more clout in this town. He had nothing to gain from helping her, so why should he care? Why should he bother? Well, because if he doesn't, she'll make it a bother for him, you see. When she realizes that he couldn't care less about justice, she goes after the one thing he does care about here, his personal space and time. She keeps hounding and badgering him here, and she just won't give up. When he gets up in the morning, there she is at his door. Grant me justice, she cries, making him spill his coffee all over his brand new tie. When he takes his lunch with his colleagues, there she is again. I need justice, she demands. And so he's got to explain to them all why he's brushing her off. When he's at the market buying some onions for supper, wouldn't you know it, there she is again, peeling back another layer of her sob story for him, trying to make him cry. And there she is in the synagogue each Sabbath, staring daggers at him during prayer, her accusatory tears still just glistening in her eyes. Like water dripping on a rock, this gutsy widow persists, and eventually she wears down this callous judge. It's true that I don't care about God or others, but I do want this nag off my back. So fine, I'll grant her justice. And so do you see it? A woman with no power in that culture prevails. And how? By badgering the judge. It seems irreverent, but that is what Jesus is saying. His word literally means to give someone a black eye. This old lady has chutzpah. But now the question is, what are we supposed to learn from this story? What does Jesus want us to take home and apply? Luke says that he told his disciples this parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. So does that mean we should be like this widow, that we should just ask and ask, and if we just bother God enough, we badger him enough, it might be enough to sway his heart? Is that what prayer's like? Is that what God's like? Like this callous, unjust judge? The more petitions and repetitions we pester God with, says one pastor, the more likely he is to give us help to eventually respond. But does that sit right with you? Does God need to be nagged before he'll listen? Is our Father's heart really so callous? Is God really so slow to grant justice to our cries? I'm guessing that's not where we want to go. But then where are we supposed to go when Jesus says, listen to the unjust judge? Clearly he wants us to connect the widow's pleas here with our prayers to God somehow. For the parable to work, there has to be at least one point of comparison, that's true. But what if for the rest he uses contrast, because contrast might actually strengthen his point, make it more obvious why we should keep asking and seeking God. So let's start by narrowing down our options then. First, is this judge God? Is that the comparison that Jesus wants us to make? Well, if we look at our text again here, there are several big problems with equating God with this judge. In the first place, in verse 6, Jesus starts out by calling this judge unjust. But now, can you imagine Jesus calling God, his Father, unjust? It's not going to happen. It would be completely out of character for both Jesus and for God. Second, Jesus is just coming off a bunch of chapters here where he's just described to his disciples his Father's warm and caring heart. His eye is on the sparrow and all that providential kind of stuff. So clearly there's no way he's now saying that his Father is as cold and callous as this selfish, as this self-centered judge. That God is as cruel or as aloof to all our problems. And third, twice Jesus describes this judge as being a person who neither feared God nor cared about others. So clearly there's no way Jesus is suggesting his character is like God's. If he was, then he'd literally be saying that God does not fear God, that God does not respect himself. That just doesn't make any sense. No, that makes no sense at all. So obviously Jesus is not trying to say that God is like this judge. But nor is he saying necessarily that this widow is like us. When the Son of Man comes, will he find such faith on earth, he asks. He leaves that question open here, unresolved. And so, of course, we want to say, yes, yes, Jesus, we're just like her. We're persistent. We're faithful. But then, if I'm honest, I'm not sure I always am. Are you? Often we give up asking much or expecting that much from God. A while back, I was reading an article about the decline, the fall of Christendom in Europe. Social scientists have been studying the decline there for years, but one of their observations really struck me. That the clearest barometer, the clearest test of people's spirituality and whether they'd remain faithful to church attendance and such, is prayer. It's whether they keep praying or give up that practice for themselves. See, many Europeans today see prayer as pointless and irrelevant, a kind of whistling in the dark, a sorry substitute for actually getting up and doing something about life's problems. But it seems that once people stop looking, stop having that kind of faith that fuels prayer, suddenly the whole of the Christian life starts to look pretty out of date, pretty out of touch. It starts to wither and to die. Once you stop practicing God's presence, why go to church? Why seek his fellowship? Why bother? But that trend isn't just in Europe. I've told you about the time my wife and I sat down in a restaurant and we ordered our food, and then we thought, let's pray before the server comes back, because, you know, that's always kind of awkward. So we held hands and we prayed. But just after we said amen, a lady came up to us and she piped up, thanks for doing that. I just don't see people doing that anymore these days. What, holding hands, I asked? No, she said, praying. And suddenly the door was wide open for a conversation about faith. And as it turns out, this lady wasn't even sure what she believed anymore. But for some reason, she found it comforting that others still held some beliefs. But that got me thinking, where are we headed if we don't dare to pray in public anymore? If we let talking to God slide into just a novelty or just a nicety in our culture? When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? No, God isn't like this judge, and we're not like this widow. Not always, anyways, if we're honest. So what's the point of Jesus' parable then? Is there any hope in it, any comfort? Well, actually there is, because if we just see that Jesus' point wasn't to compare characters, but to compare situations, then we can break through to the comfort of verse 7. The tremendous opportunity we have in praying to God. See, what we have here is a special kind of argument which many rabbis back then, including Jesus, were actually very fond of. Like the last parable, this is a how much more argument with a lesser to greater kind of logic. Jesus is saying that if even this powerless widow could prevail in seeking justice from this hopelessly unjust and uncaring judge, how much more won't we find justice from our just and loving God? Comparable situations, comparable results, but contrasting characters, you see. So that Jesus can make us how much more assurance here really pack a real punch. If even this poor widow can hang in there and find justice from that corrupt and selfish judge, how much more shouldn't God's children expect it from our good and gracious Father? He is the God who formed us, made us, who knows the number of hairs on our heads, and who watches over us day and night with tireless, tireless love. He will surely act and act quickly, Jesus insists here, if we keep on asking for what is just. He won't forget, and he won't keep putting us off. Oh, but sometimes it feels like God does, and that's why Jesus tells this parable, you see, because at times in our life, yes, God can seem so cold and careless, as cruel and callous as this judge. But even then, keep seeking and you will see it. God will see to it, Jesus promises us here. And on what grounds? His intimate knowledge of the character of his Father. I like this definition of prayer by Alvin Reed. Prayer is intimacy with God that leads to the fulfillment of God's purposes. Intimacy with God that leads to the fulfillment of his purposes. God's ways are not our ways, God's timing's not our timing. But when we keep praying for justice, even in this brutally unjust world, we'll find that he does care. We'll find that his purposes are just. So on the one hand, we hear an affirmation here of the faithfulness of our God, that God will certainly act and act quickly for his flock. But on the other hand, we also hear in this parable a call to our faithfulness, that we should persevere in prayer and not give up then, not lose heart. Jesus wants to find faith like this widow's when he comes back. Judge. You see, there's grace here in this widow too, her perseverance, her grit, and that's what Jesus calls faith here, even, you see. Not her piety or her doctrine, but her tenacious refusal here to stop seeking justice. Most of us would have given up on that selfish old judge long before, but she doesn't, because there's a fire inside her. There's a fire inside her here. A faith in the kingdom of God. Her life is a prayer now that all things are possible. I mean, if it wasn't for Luke's opening remark, would we ever have guessed that this was even a parable about prayer? Luke says that Jesus gave us this parable so we would always pray and we would never give up. But what would you call this widow's action here? I'm not sure I'd call it prayer. I'd call it pestering or prodding or protesting. There's nothing passive in what she does. If it's prayer, then it's the prayer of an activist, someone who speaks up loud for justice. In fact, the Greek word for prayer, prosukamai, is made up of the prefix pros, to face towards, to seek God's face in direct approach, and eukomai, which means to speak out, to utter out loud, to wish or vow. So from a kingdom perspective, there is no work of justice more important than beseeching the king. And there's no work of prayer more important than helping the helpless. You can't say you're in my thoughts and prayers, then take no action at all. We tend to think of prayer and protest as two separate things, though, don't we? The prayer simply goes with personal piety over here on the one hand, and protest goes with social justice over there. But Jesus puts them together here. Prayer is protest. Protest is prayer. To keep speaking up for justice is a form of prayer. To keep praying, Lord, deliver us from evil, is a form of protest. We can't be faithful with just one, but not the other. And yet here's where I've got to be honest. As I worked through this passage here this week, something just kept needling me, just kept pricking my conscience. Because I didn't practice this well here, really. I didn't practice what I preach. A few weeks ago, one of our neighbors that I know, let's call her Shanice, stopped by my office and told me that her husband had just died. I prayed with her several times for her husband who'd been battling with cancer. But now she's a widow, and so she plans to go with her daughter, go live down in Texas. But there's just one problem, she said. I got this bill from my landlord, and it's totally unfair. He charged me an extra $900. The Section 8 housing funds were supposed to come through, but now it's all messed up, and now I got to go talk to a judge. Pastor Joel, I need your help. I'm not really a finance guy, I said, and I hardly think my word as a pastor is going to make any difference to that judge. Well, you can pray, can't you? She said. I was blown away at her trust. But do you see it? That's all I prayed there, in word, but not in deed. Sure, I'd bother God, but not that judge. What callous spots has God got to root yet out of my heart? Jesus told us this parable so we would always keep praying, always keep protesting, and not give up. So we would keep seeking to give this world the shape of things to come. Where do you see people persisting in the face of injustice? Have you ever thought of their actions as prayer? Where do you see people seeking God's will in prayer? Do you see what an act of protest that really is? It takes the tenacious faith of this widow to believe that God will come through, that systems can change, and even callous judges' hearts. But if we seek first his kingdom, all that will be given to us as well. My prayers often sound hollow, though, when I know that I could act on them more. I wonder if that's God's letting me hear my own echoes. Be part of the answer to that now. It's like the person who prayed, God, there's so much misery in this world, so much violence and oppression, war and injustice. Why don't you do something about it? To which God replied, of course, I did do something. I made you, didn't I? Pope Francis once put it so well. He said, you pray for the hungry, then you feed them. That's how prayer works. You pray for the hungry, then you feed them, and that's all a prayer to God. Prayer is intimacy with God that helps to lead us to the fulfillment of God's purposes. And so friends, badger them all you want, but do stand ready to help. Let's bow our heads now in a word to God. Lord, help us to live lives of active faith, of active prayer in your world, fully depending on you, even as you work through us to help. Persevere in us, that we might persevere with you, so that your kingdom might come, and not a single person would be left crying in the dark. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. And all God's people say, Amen.